order.
Well, I do have an order, Ed.
Let's have it, sir.
Hang up.
Jimmy John's, freaky fast delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com or visit 2427 Ridge Road in Highland. Call 219-923-5555. Jimmy John's.
Is there a way to...
All right, Jed in the Region has come to an end. I've been your very special... It's been special for me, your guest host, Larry the K. Coming up right now, the Edison Community Crime Watch with Janet Vanez, Councilperson at Large for the City of Hammond, and Chief Brian Miller. There we go. Good morning, good morning. I'm going to hand the controls over to Gino, and I'm going to let you guys have it. Take care, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me into your lives today.
All you.
Good morning, Region. My name is Janet Vanez, and I'd like to welcome you to the first show of Edison Community Watch. We are an all-volunteer community group that meets the first Wednesday of each month at Edison School in Hammond. We decided to bring our message to WJOB listeners who might not be able to attend our meetings. When a crime occurs, we often hear comments such as, "Where were the police? I'd never see them on my street." And somebody needs to do something. We want residents to know that somebody is doing something, and we need your help, because that's how change happens, one gesture, one person, one moment at a time. This being our first show, I'd like to give you an idea about what we do. Crime Watch and community groups in the City of Hammond have become a valuable tool in our community. Each of our groups has increased drug and crime awareness and prevention, promoted neighborhood safety for our property, families, and children, and made residents aware of programs the City of Hammond offers. Through our efforts, residents have learned how to be the eyes and ears of our city and police department. Our mission is to make our neighborhoods safe for our children, to watch out for your neighbors because they're watching out for you. Be aware of any suspicious activity in your neighborhood and call 911 if you see something that is just not right. Remember, the police are professionals and trained to deal with situations in our neighborhoods. Do not take the law into your own hands. We also encourage our residents to make their home and their family a hard target by locking your doors and windows of your home and your car. Try not to park your car on the street if you must. Park in a well-lit area and don't leave any valuables in your car. Light up your yard by turning on your porch light. The cost of electricity is far less than the potential damage that could be done. Trim your trees and bushes around your property. Don't give criminals a place to hide. Know where your children are at all times. They are our most precious responsibility and our future. Protect them at all costs. We all call Hammond our home. Just as we work together in our own house, we must all work together in the city we call home. We ask our residents to pick up the phone and make the call. Whether it be to the police or any city department, please make the call. Because community is not just about me, it's about us. Our guest this morning is Hammond Police Chief Brian Miller. Brian is not the behind-the-desk kind of chief. He's on our streets protecting all of us. For those of you on his email list, you may have had the pleasure of reading the chief's updates. His accountings of situations on our streets is always sobering and sometimes even comical. No matter what the situation he's describing, his dedication and that of his men and women is always obvious. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for
joining
me. That was a nice introduction. I should put on my coat and go home. I can only go downhill from here.
Well, you are held in very high regard.
Well, thank you.
In the city of Hammond. All of us in the Crime Watch and Community Watch groups think that you do an excellent job, and we appreciate your support. If anyone has any questions for Chief this morning, our phone number is 845-1100. Oh, we do have a caller right off the bat. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. How are the two of you?
Very
doing
well.
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to start off by letting everyone know that I'm a member of the East Hammond Pullman Crime Watch and Citywide Crime Watch. And everyone on those committees and everyone that participates in Crime Watch are very much proud of the hard work that both of you do to protect our city and to keep us safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate all your help.
I do have a question for Chief Miller.
Sure.
I'm a resident of the 3rd District, and a couple weeks ago, the Hammond Police Department and the Excise Police shut down a local bar in our district. And I was just wondering what tipped you off that there was some illegal activity going on at that bar.
Okay, Ann. That's a good question. The bar that she's referring to is Dodo's. It's in the 500 block of Conkey Street. Actually, it's the second time we've shut it down. We shut it down in 2009. Basically, it was we were following complaints from neighbors that said that there was an unusual amount of car traffic, pedestrian traffic, people going into the bar for just a minute or two, sometimes leaving the car running, coming right back in, jumping in the car, and taking off. Sometimes those are signs that people are selling drugs. You know, in a business, you have to be a little careful, make sure it's not a takeout kind of thing. But the last time, this is in 2009, we apprehended a few people leaving the bar. They had controlled substances on them, drugs on them, and we were able to follow up with them. We'd send them in and make controlled buys. And we were actually able to close the bar down. There was drugs found in the bar, cocaine found in the bar. This last time was very similar. We had captured a couple of guys that were dealing in narcotics. They told us they were buying from Dodo's, and in particular, they said they were buying from the bartenders. So we sent in someone, wired up what we call a confidential informant, and he purchased from the one bartender and came back, purchased from the same bartender who actually received the drugs from another bartender. So there were two bartenders involved. A couple weeks ago, we served a search warrant. I wish I would remember what date. It was on a Friday night or going into Saturday morning. We were able to find a couple of guns on patrons. I think we found a very small quantity of marijuana. And state excise was with us. And they cited the bar for a number of violations. We also had code enforcement and our building commissioner with us, and they found standing water in the basement of the business, and the electrical was not safe. So they actually shut it down for electrical code violations. I'm hoping it'll stay closed. I think that there's a problem, especially when you have a bar that's closed twice in a period of about 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it stays that way. I don't know what state excise will ultimately determine in Indianapolis, but hopefully they'll agree with us and keep the license suspended or take the license away.
Well, thank you very much, and keep up the great job, both of you.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for your call.
Thanks,
I really
Ann.
Appreciate
right.
it.
Have a good day.
I do have to say that the Crime Watch groups have been very active in passing around petitions against renewals of liquor licenses, of problem bars in their neighborhood. And that's just one of the things that comes out of the Crime Watch and community meetings that go on in the city.
You know, Janet, talking to excise officials, one of the biggest things that they consider when suspending or terminating a bar license is petitions. They want to know what the neighborhood thinks, and they're more apt to go with the neighborhood views than they are probably with the police or with the excise officers.
That's terrific. Because that's what it's all about, the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We do have another caller. Bonnie, good morning.
Hi, Janet. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
Okay. Janet, I just want to thank you for all the work you're doing on the signs, those ugly signs on all the telephone poles. And I did want to say that the reason our Crime Watches are successful is because of that man sitting next to you there. He is a hands-on chief.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate it.
We have, you know what, we have some wonderful crime watches, and people like you and Ann Herbert and Janet that have put together these crime watches and get the people together and keep them motivated and kind of move it along all through the year. That's really what where the thanks should go. Instead of having, you know, I have 211 police officers. That's our sworn strength. I feel I have 85,000 residents that are looking out, and it's a good thing. This morning we had a kind of highlighting that. We had a subject that looked out in the backyard and saw a man wearing an orange reflective vest, and he was going through the yards. This is just as I was coming to WJOB, and so they called the police and actually got in the car and followed this subject through several yards. Our officers were able to respond quickly, and we were able to catch the subject before he was stealing a bike when they actually apprehended him. So if it wasn't for the efforts of that person picking up the phone and calling us, obviously we would not have known this person was in yards stealing things. So you know, we always talk about good police work, but a lot of it comes down to people calling us and giving us tips.
I just want to say, Chief, you know, a big thanks to you. I mean, you're always there for us, just a phone call away. As a matter of fact, one time my son was visiting me from New York City, and I was talking to you on the phone, and he said, "You mean the chief of police actually talks to the people?" Yeah, he does. He turns off calls and all emails.
I appreciate it very much. I love my job. I think everyone knows that. And I'm very fortunate. I have some very dedicated police officers and staff that keep the machine running. I like to think that I'm more the figurehead than anything else. And they go out and really do some outstanding work, stuff that you never hear of.
Yeah, but we have a great police force. I've never run into a bad one yet. So that's
and hopefully you won't, Bonnie.
You know who to hire.
We sure try.
Okay, I'm going to let someone else call.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Bonnie. Owen, we have another caller. MX, good morning.
Good morning, Janet Vinez and Chief Brian Miller.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good. You know, I want to say some things. You know, it makes a big difference having a community officer in a crime watch. And for the people that are listening in the Hessville area, Officer Holbrook is our community crime watch officer. And he solved problems for me from people just throwing grass clippings over their fence to license plates to heavier issues. And, you know, Officer Holbrook will get back with you as soon as he can. But, you know, I hear about this Constitution and the Second Amendment. And if you harm somebody with a handgun, when you're in jail, read the Second Amendment to the prison guard. I think the main thing is to call the police, and that's what Officer Holbrook stresses. I remember a lot of your quotes, Chief Brian Miller. You said one day, and I can't remember what day, that if you think you're going to harm somebody with a handgun and put them in the house, you said your hammer detectives were too good, and you're not going to get away with it.
Well, thank you.
And just like what you brought up. Thursday night, about 25 miles an hour in the snow, and after that, if you go 30 or 40, you just make a bigger splat. But I want to give thanks to Janet Vinez, Officer Holbrook, and Chief Brian Miller. I'm going to give you a compliment, Chief Brian Miller. Every time I see you, you're the Chuck Norris of Hammond. So I said that before, and I really mean it.
Well, thank you very much.
That's a new one.
That's a new one. I'm gonna go kick something as soon as I leave here. Thank you very much, Barry.
All righty.
Thanks, MX. And we do have another caller. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning. How are you, Janet?
Very well, and you?
Well, I want to compliment your Chief of Hammond. I don't live in Hammond. However, my father-in-law was stopped. He was exceeding the speed limit. The guy is 93. He's never had a ticket in his life.
Okay.
God love him.
Well, now, here's the story. The police officer probably could have justified him giving the ticket. He gave him a warning. And it showed compassion for a senior citizen, probably knowing that he has to depend on limited income now that he's retired, plus like a lot of people, the company he retired from went bankrupt, and their pension was greatly reduced, and that would have created a financial hardship on him. And it shows to me that the community of Hammond has respect for senior citizens. They also have heart, that they understand that there are people that are making ends meet, and they don't have a lot for any luxuries, even though he was probably in the wrong. He was doing 38 in the 35 zone, I believe, is what the officer told him. He had enough compassion to give him a break.
Outstanding.
That shows me the heart of the Hammond Police Department. With that, I want to thank you, Chief, because that's a reflection on you.
Thank you very much, Earl. It's a reflection on our police officers. We have some really good police officers, and you have to have respect for your seniors. They're an invaluable tool in your community. They really are. A lot of knowledgeable, good people that have worked hard all their life. But thank you very much. I agree with you. We need to have compassion for our seniors, obviously.
Thank you so much, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Earl. Hi, we have another caller. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. And Chief Miller and Janet, kudos to you for initial start of this program. I think it's going to be great. Because
thank you.
You know what? You bring up problems that everybody encounters day in and day out.
Absolutely.
And Chief Miller, I love Crime Watch, and I back the police 100%. I'll tell you what, let me tell you a little, if I can tell you just a second to tell you a little story. I was going south on Kennedy just before the Highland border, and I got pulled over by one of the Hammond policemen. And I didn't wear my seatbelt, and I told him, it's my fault. I should have put it on, and I apologize for not having it on. And I said, how did you have to notice I didn't have the seatbelt? He said he was going the opposite direction. He always looks where the seatbelt is hanging. And he pulled up alongside of me to make sure that I didn't have it on. And you know what we did at the very end after he gave me the ticket? I shook his hand, and I thanked him for doing his job. But he was a gentleman of the first class, and I wish I remember his name, but I forgot his name.
Well, thank you. It's important that we wear our seatbelts, and just like
absolutely.
You, every once in a while, I forget to put it on also, and if I get stopped and get a ticket, well, that's kind of the way it goes.
I don't know that anyone's going to give the chief
a ticket. On the seatbelt, there's no forgiving on that. That's automatic, isn't it?
You know what? In 22 years, I've never unbuckled a dead person, and that's kind of morbid, but it's my way of saying that the people that wear seatbelts, even in most serious accidents, usually get off with less than life-threatening injuries, and seatbelts, they are important. I'm glad my officer was professional and courteous. We insist that they are.
And you know, but you know what? Getting that ticket encouraged me to be more careful with my seatbelt there. But you know what? What I like about the Crime Watch, and I encourage everybody to go to the Crime Watch. You'll have a great experience. But you know what? All these people that complain, this is your opportunity to voice your opinion, isn't it? And some of the problems you encounter.
Couldn't agree with you more, sir. A lot of times people bring up things in Crime Watch that I was not aware of.
Bring
a different viewpoint to the mix, and it helps. I like to go to the Crime Watches for that same reason, just because there's healthy debate, and even, you know, when people come in and they're heated and they have a question or a problem that they ran into, it's good for us to sit down and talk. A lot of times we're able to, in a five-minute talk, able to fix their problem or at least mitigate the situation. So I agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more.
You know what our Highland Police say, and I'll close on this and then I'll hang up. Our Highland Police say, at our Crime Watch, they say, we do not care if you suspect something, even though it's a false alarm. He says we're happy to come out, and
absolutely.
That's what people should be aware of. Even don't be afraid to call the police.
Yes,
it
sir.
Might be a false alarm, but I'm sure the police are happy to come out.
We are. We'd much rather come out and find out that it's a mistake, that the person, I was talking earlier about a person had an orange reflective vest going through yards. We'd much rather come back and find out that he's a NIPSCO gas meter reader or a water department person, and we can all have a good laugh, rather than come out 5 hours later when a homeowner comes home and finds his house has been burglarized. Then the neighbor comes across the street and says, you know, it's funny, I saw a man with an orange reflective vest in the backyard. And my question is, why didn't you call us? You know, why didn't you pick up the phone and call the police? So,
Chief, I wish one thing, that every house was equipped with like a flashing blue light or a siren.
Okay.
All you had to do is push that button and it would give out a tremendous siren sound and you, in case you suspected trouble.
Okay.
And of course, people would be alerted, turn on their porch lights, and that might scare people away, but that's just a far-fetched idea.
No, it's not actually far-fetched. They have porch lights now, and pole lights for your front and your backyard, and you can hook them up to a motion detector, or you can hook them up to a button, and they flash like a strobe when there's a problem. And really, the reason it was done...
Oh, that's great.
The reason it was done was for, you call for an ambulance. Maybe you have an elderly person in your home, and this would be a good way for the ambulance or police car, whoever's responding, when you turn on that block and you see that flashing strobe, you know which one to go to immediately.
Thank you very
much. All righty, Joe. Thank you very much. We do have another caller, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning. I heard you speaking about bars earlier. In and out, I've been in the bar business for 18 years. And the one common denominator that these bars that are dealing in drugs and clientele that, you know, likes the drugs have in common is things like quarter shot nights, free okay. drinks, and so on and so forth. And as far, you know, excise, it's illegal to give away a free drink. So the way they get around it is they do 25-cent shots. That doesn't okay. bring anything in but people that only got 20 bucks in their wallet. And 20 bucks in some cocaine will go a lot farther than, you know, $20 in beer for some of these people. And that there should be a state law that there's like a $2 drink minimum where that element doesn't even have the chance to come in because they can't afford it.
You know, that's interesting. I never heard about that. I've seen quarter shots advertised and dollar drinks, things like that. And I didn't realize that. I guess looking at it from that perspective, sure, it might encourage a problem. But I think the problem at this bar, there's just not a lot of management, watchful management, watching and looking to see what's going on in the bar because the signs are evident. When you have people coming in for 2 minutes talking to the bartender and running right back out the door, and this is happening over and over and over again in your evening, you should probably have a good idea that something is afoot.
Well, that's why your leaflets and flyers that, you know, scream 25-cent shots more times than any, you're going to find that's that manager in that bar that really doesn't pay attention to anything and really doesn't care.
Really? Okay.
It's that element that comes in that can't afford to drink and they'll buy 25-cent shots to feel like big men and, you know, do cocaine in the bathroom. That's just what I found mm-hmm. over, you know, 18 years in and out of the bar business, that an establishment that charges a decent, you know, fair for the customer, fair for the proprietor drink price, you find a lot less of it. I'm not going to say you're not going to find any of it, but you'll find a lot less of it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks
thank
for sharing
you
your experience.
Thank you very much for your
call. Really appreciate the call.
You know, Chief and I were talking before we went on the air, and I am of the opinion that part of Hammond's charm is these neighborhood taverns that have existed for such a very long time. It's just that, you know, when they infringe on the neighborhood's quality of life, that does create a problem. And, you know, quarter shots certainly encourages situations like that. We do have another call. This is Cammie. Good morning,
Cammie. Good morning, guys. I was calling about the, I know you guys do a license, or Chief Miller, you do a license plate sweep for the schools.
Yes.
Have you guys considered doing any for the apartment complexes around?
Yes. I'm glad you bring that up. We actually do it twice a year. We just did the apartment complex sting a while back, and basically our officers come into work. We start at 3 in the morning, and that's to try to catch most of the people are home at 3 in the morning. We go through the complex, and the complexes give us a list, a roster, of the people that live there and also the date that person moved in. As you know, Cammie, the state law says that within 60 days of moving to Indiana, there might be a few exceptions, but generally you have to put Indiana plates on your car. And it's interesting, all the crime watches I go to, all the city meetings I go to, that's the number one thing on anyone's agenda. And it's a little surprising, but now I'm in my 10th year. I'm very used to it. And every meeting I go to, I know I'm going to be asked that question. So we do go out. I have two officers that full-time now do nothing but reciprocity violations. That's, you know, making sure people are in compliance with their license plates. So we go out at 3 o'clock in the morning. We tag all the cars that we know are not in compliance. And then we give them a certain amount of time. And we come back again at 3 o'clock in the morning and we tow cars. And it's not unusual for us to go through some of our bigger complexes and tow 25, 30 cars out of there. So we are very hot on that. It's a big problem. Obviously, you know, we share a border with Illinois in our closeness to city of Chicago. And therefore, it's going to remain a problem long after I'm out of office. But I promise we will stay on it. And we do the apartment complexes twice a year.
Okay, I was just curious because I was swinging by Tanglewood the other day after mm-hmm. school, and I seen about 25 kids get off a school bus as I Well, they'll never get those parents if taking them to school if they're not doing the apartment. So
yeah, it does make it harder if they're taking a school bus. We do the school stings. We do those twice a year also. We do those in the fall. And then now with the full-time reciprocity officers, they go around in the afternoons and they try to catch some of them that are picking up. We usually do the drop-off in the morning. We find that's pretty successful. But, you know, the parents have gotten smart. Some of the parents will drop their child off four blocks away from the school. We've seen them drop off kids and kids in alleys. So, yeah, definitely a big problem.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we are just about out of time. Thank you, Chief.
You're very welcome, Janet. Anytime.
I spent hours preparing for this, and you just bring in the phone calls, so I didn't have to go through my whole agenda here. So thank you very much.
No problem. Anytime I can help bring in the phone calls.
Yes, I may invite you back again next month.
Be a pleasure.
Well, we asked the region to think about us and not me. Attend a Crime Watch meeting or a community meeting. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. For a list of Crime Watch meetings, you can visit EdisonCommunityWatch.com or HammondCrimeWatch.com. Edison Community Watch has a couple of meetings coming up. Edison Community Watch is partnering with Irving Community Watch for a meeting at Irving School this Friday, March 1st, 1:30 p.m. Ms. Parker, Irving's principal, is helping us get the word out to the Spanish community. The next meeting is Edison Community Watch's regular meeting on Wednesday, March 6th, 6:30 p.m. at Edison School. Sergeant Muta, our community policing officer, and I would have really liked to have talked about our community policing officers because they do a great job for all of us in the Crime Watch meetings, but he will be there. And Mayor McDermott is going to be our guest speaker. He, the mayor, is also bringing his 12-year-old Optimus Baseball Bulldogs team, who are going to play in the Cal Ripken World Series that's going to be coming to Hammond in August. We always hear about kids who are doing bad things, and we feel that it's really important to inform our residents about kids in Hammond who are involved and who are staying out of trouble. The good kids are really the majority in Hammond. Edison Community Watch will go on the road Thursday, March 7th, 1:30 p.m. at the Golden Manor Senior Apartments. Our guests for that meeting will be Chris Sakalaris from the Hammond Legal Aid Clinic, and she's going to discuss end-of-life protection for the seniors. Everyone is welcome. If you can't make a Crime Watch meeting in your neighborhood and you have a complaint or concern, please let me know. You can visit EdisonCommunityWatch.com and email me through the website, or you can call me at 937-9774. I'd be more than happy to help you. Well, thank you, Region. We look forward to next month. Thank you, Gene, for walking me through this first show. I really appreciate it. And remember, community is not just about me. It's about us. Thank you.